Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a really hard 18 months for us all in different ways. The COVID virus and the lockdown. And imagine some of us will have faced new financial difficulties, worries about work, or business. Some of us have been ill, even with COVID. Some of us, we've lost loved ones, parts of our families. We've lost, or rather they've gone to glory, members of our church. We have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's been a great deal of fear and anxiety in the world all around us. And I think worst of all, hardest of all, there's been these prolonged periods of time when we've been cut off and separated from the things that make life, well, the most precious things of life, the most important things. We've separated from each other, from family, from loved ones. Weddings cancelled, schools closed, churches closed. Families not able to be together, even when someone has been dying. And those are all the things that refresh us and sustain us, God's gifts to give us life. And it'd be no wonder if after 18 months of this that we were a bit worn out, even spiritually weary. I suspect that the consequences of all of this are going to be with us for a long time. And you'd have to say that generally the church has, in our country, has not done well with this test. It's now weaker and more worldly than ever. It's been the judgment of the Lord, his rebuke. He's spoken his terrible voice against our society. And he's humbled us. He's overthrown us. And he has been searching and sifting through his church. But this is why, brothers and sisters, I want us to turn tonight to Psalm 23. And the Lord willing to consider it together over the next few months. I want you to hear its good news for bruised and battered sheep. It's great refreshing encouragement if your soul is a bit dry and weary. Psalm 23, I know, it's so well known to all of us. I'm not expecting, in a sense, to teach you anything new, but just to remind you of the precious truths that you know already. And the comfort that the Lord gives us in it, the peace and the reassurance, the hope, the courage that this psalm gives us. And as we're listening to it, I'm praying that you're going to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to you, giving you rest in green pastures and refreshing you with waters of mercy. And that you're going to be strengthened as you contemplate his powerful sovereign rod, his awesome staff of judgment protecting you, and reassured with any anxieties that you may have, that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you even in the most difficult circumstances. And then to remind you of the bright hope you can have every day, that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, of eternal life to come. So really, I want to ask you to open your heart. Hear what the Lord is saying in this psalm. Believe this good news if you're a somewhat bruised or battered sheep. Believe what this psalm says. Believe its promises. Believe his love for you. Be refreshed by the all-sufficient grace, the all-encompassing grace of Jesus Christ that we hear about in this psalm. And so I want you to look with me tonight at just the first words of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is what the scripture says: on behalf of every believer, the Lord is my shepherd. Of course, this is the defining statement of the whole psalm. This one statement is what the rest of the psalm goes on to picture and describe and to explain what it means. The rest of the psalm is unfolding the promise, what it means the Lord is our shepherd. You'll see certain things that come in and out of the psalm, great themes over and over again. To say he's your shepherd is the promise of his presence with you. It's the promise of his protection. It's the promise of his peace to be with you. The Lord is my shepherd is the promise of God's presence, peace, protection forever. To put it very simply, this wonderful truth is reminding us who we are and whose we are. Who we are and whose we are. Now, this must always be the starting point in the Christian life. This is how we should start every day, really. Remember who you are and whose you are. This is the foundation for living the Christian life, for practicing it, for walking in it. It's first remember who you are by grace. You, brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners to the people of God. You are no longer a sinner on the outside, condemned for all that you've done wrong. You're not someone who's having to be striving to get into a right standing with God, not even by religion or charity. Now, the right starting point, brothers and sisters, is to rest upon what God has made you. This relationship, this unique relationship he has forged and now has with you. You have this position with God. He is your shepherd and you are his sheep. And this is where you stand. You are no longer his enemy. How the devil loves to cast Christians down by making them doubt salvation. How he loves to bring up past sins and recurring failures and weaknesses and use them to so cast you down. You wonder, how could God ever love me? How can I be saved? But you must not listen to that. You must listen to what God says in his word. Do you remember what the Lord says in John chapter 10 that we just heard? Whoever comes to him will be saved. Whoever comes to him as the door will be saved, he says. Will be saved. Not possibly or maybe, it depends on you a little bit, but will be saved. It is his promise. This is who you are now. He's your shepherd. You're no longer his enemy. We can put it as strongly as that. Before we were born again, before we repented of our sins and looked to the Saviour, we were enemies to God. A natural enmity in us, a rebelliousness against his law, and full of hate and ignorant about God, children of wrath. But that is no longer you. It all changed. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation, and the old has passed away. This is the most wonderful transformation that God has wrought in your life. Who are you now to God in his eyes? You're his sheep, and he is your shepherd. You are in his fold and his flock. To say the Lord is your shepherd is to say your sins are forgiven. You've been justified, you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you have been given his Holy Spirit. You're adopted as a child of God. You are a son of God and an heir of glory. You're part of the body of Christ, the temple of God. The stranger to Christ, a non-believer, he cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my judge. But you, trusting in Christ, the Lord is my shepherd. You know how often the scriptures remind us of this, because we forget it so easily, that we are the Lord's. He has purchased us. He owns us. Isn't that the distinction that you heard him make in John 10? He says the hireling, the false shepherd, he doesn't own the sheep, so he runs away with trouble. But the good shepherd, he owns the sheep. You belong to him. You have this special relationship, and therefore we live for Christ. Think about how often when the scripture is exhorting us to be holy, to keep the commandments, to please God, what is the motivation the scripture gives us? 9 times out of 10. Because of who you are. Who you are already by grace. A child of God. Isn't that what this is telling us? Well, this is the declaration at the head of this psalm, and all blessings flow out of it. This is who we are and whose we are in Christ. Our shepherd. He's our king. He's our protector, provider, our guide. He is our good. Remember who you are, brothers and sisters. Remember whose you are. And it says, the Lord. The Lord, and it's capitalized. It's the special holy name of God. That name revealed to the people of God. You could even say the family name of God given to his people that they may invoke it. The Lord is my shepherd. That is to say that the one and only eternal creator God is your God. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, he made all things. He created the angels and the heavenly hosts. They're his servants. There was no one else there. No one helped him. No one had to give him advice. All things come from him. He alone, eternal, life-giving, unchanging, this all-powerful creator, is your shepherd. He is the great I Am. I think when we hear the name of the Lord, we must remember, he tells us this is the root meaning of this special name. You remember in Exodus when the revelation is given to Moses in the burning bush, and he says, you know, who shall I say you are? Who has sent me to Pharaoh? And in giving him the name, the Lord says, I am who I am. Who was, who is, who will be. He appears in that burning bush that's not consumed, because he's the ever burning fire, the ever existing life that needs no fuel, that draws no resources from anybody else, but is, and all things come from him, self-sustaining eternally. This Lord is your shepherd. Lord, he is the Lord of hosts, the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's all wise. He's decreed all things from the beginning, and in power does his will. This Lord is your shepherd. You know those comforting words in Isaiah chapter 40. Precious passage again. We know it so well, where God is comforting his people through the prophet Isaiah. He says, comfort my people. Comfort them. They were facing exile and ruin. What's the comfort that they're given? What's Isaiah sent to say? Behold your God. Behold your God. The one who put the stars in space and who looks on the rulers of the world, and they are like insects to him. The Lord is your shepherd. He's your king. Again, I trust you know that shepherd is often just a synonym for king. The kings of Israel were called shepherds of his people. Shepherd's calling is to protect his flock, lead them, feed them, to kill the wolves and to care for them. So a king is to defeat his people's enemies and keep them safe and to lead his nation into prosperity. When we say the Lord is your shepherd, we're not just saying God is king of the universe, which of course he is. No, it's meaning he is your king in a personal sense. You are under his special favor. You are a chosen people. And as your king, he will lead and protect you and bring you to glory and care for you. The Lord is my shepherd is another way of saying that wonderful refrain that we hear all the way throughout Scripture, the very heart of everything. I will be your God, and you will be my people. He's the covenant-keeping God. To say he is your shepherd is saying God has entered into covenant with you. A binding, unbreakable commitment made in the blood of Christ. It is legally, as a promise, he will be your God. All that God is to you. And faithfully give you all that you need, and you can count on him. And you can live by his laws and be blessed. The Lord, the one abounding in mercy, forgiving sin, trespass and iniquity. Sin, the omissions where you fall short. Transgression, those deliberate wrong acts where you consciously go against his law and break it. And even iniquity, sins that are really defiling and corrupting, the worst of things. For you, because he's your shepherd, he forgives. He forgives them. Showing mercy to thousands. Blessing to generation after generation of those whom he shepherds. Slow to anger and quick to forgive. God who is kind, gentle, loving, defender of widows and orphans. This is the Lord who is your shepherd. Remember who you are and whose you are. Do you know, one of the scriptures that always stirs me up is Psalm 68. Psalm 68, the Lord is coming back from battle. He's leading a victory procession. He's marching to Jerusalem with captives behind him. He saved his people in battle. It's like this great triumphant scene of a king leading his army. And how is the king announced? How does the Lord want to be announced as he strides out in power? Defender of widows and the orphan's help. Don't you love that? You know, in similar scenes, can you imagine a king in the ancient world? He'd want to say, slayer of nations and crusher of his enemies. But the Lord, he says, no, this is who I am. Defender of widows and the orphan's help. This is your God. This is the Lord. Remember who you are and whose you are, brothers and sisters. If we try to express how wonderful this is, perhaps it helps to consider what it does not say. Consider all the horrible alternatives. Perhaps in David's time, writing the psalm, some would have said, Molech is my shepherd. Baal is my shepherd. The pagan gods, cruel and bloodthirsty, weak and fickle. How horrible if it's powers like that you're trusting in. Today the alternative is, I suspect everyone wants to be their own shepherd. Or we give more and more power to political earthly governments. But everyone wants today, I think, to be their own God, their own king, make their own rules, their own truth. I am my shepherd. But our eyes have been opened to see how terrible that would be. We know how self-deceptive, how self-deceiving our hearts are, how horrible it would be to be in charge of our own life. Can you imagine that, Christian, if the Lord was not your shepherd and somehow it was all up to you and in your hands? No wonder people are so afraid and anxious because they have no shepherd. And they think that there's just chance or fate that they've got to navigate through life and depend on themselves and their own resources. What a frightening way to live. Horrible alternative, but not you. Amen. The Lord is your shepherd and you are in his hands. What a blessed place to be. A place where even if you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. No evil because he is with you. It doesn't say, well, you might fear a little bit of evil, or you can be anxious. It says you can cast your fears to the wind. Cast those anxieties away. The Lord is your shepherd. Fear not. And of course, best of all, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're saying that Jesus Christ is your shepherd. You are saying that the Son of God, made flesh, our Saviour in his own body, united to us in his humanity, this is your shepherd. The good shepherd who did not run, but who laid down his life for the sheep. I think in John 10, when the Lord speaks about other shepherds, he's referring back to some of the complaints that the prophets often made, that the kings of Israel were faithless, meant to shepherd the people, but they were selfish. They muddied the streams with their own dirty feet, just in it for themselves. They were thieves and robbers and oppressed and abused God's people. But not him, the true king, the saviour. He gives to his people, he lays down his life, his own precious body and blood, to save them from the wrath of God. Oh, how your Saviour loves you. How he loved you in eternity past. How he loved you when he laid down his cross, the agony of the cross. How he loves you still in heaven interceding for you. What great rejoicing there will be when you see him face to face. How your Saviour loves you. The Lord is your shepherd, Jesus Christ. He says he knows his sheep. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He knows you. He knew you when, well, before you were even in your mother's womb. He knows your pains and struggles. He has been there and he empathizes. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the thoughts of your heart, the words of your lips before you do. This is the Lord, your shepherd, who was going to bring you safely home and into his fold. Isn't this just the most wonderful thing? The Lord is my shepherd. And this is your God, who he is to you forever. You can be sure of this. You can rest in this secure. We do not know the future, what it will bring, but we know the one who has it in his hands. So if this is who he is and whose you are, then the closing application is, remember who you are. The real sense here of the Lord is my shepherd is that this is a complete, comprehensive, all-defining, a determinative, an all-covering, all-embracing, all-sufficient relationship. That this defines your whole life. That this is the central, most important thing about you and defines everything about you. This is your identity. This relationship you have with God is the heart of everything. It fills, it controls, it defines everything about you. This is the reality. There's so much talk today, isn't there, about identity? People looking for identity. So, with no peace with themselves, and no sense of what their place is in the world. Where do they belong? And people so desperate to be loved, and wondering if they can change their identity. As the Lord's people, you don't have to worry about any of that. This is who you are. This is the all-encompassing thing. The Lord is your shepherd. Glorious thought. When you have to describe yourself, we often do it in terms of relationships, don't we? I'm a husband. I'm a father. I do such and such a job for such and such a place. And never forget that first and foremost, over everything, the Lord is my shepherd. So live like it. Live like it, brothers and sisters. Let this be your be all and end all. And of course, the second thing is to say that you're his sheep is not necessarily a flattering picture. It's an honest one and a humbling one. Sheep need a lot of looking after. They're pretty silly, weak, defenseless creatures. Loyal, loving, I think, but prone to wander, starve. Unless someone's there to even cut their wool, they're going to get stuck in every passing bush. Isn't that us all over? Without the Lord constantly trimming us down, what mess we get into. But to say the Lord is my shepherd is to acknowledge humbly we're totally dependent on him. We're weak, we're poor of spirit, we're helpless without him. And that's a good place to be. If the Lord left us to our own devices, there's no pit, there's no hole we wouldn't fall into. But he doesn't. He keeps us. We'd be helpless in our sins, could not atone for them. We'd be helpless against the fangs of the evil one. We'd be foolish in our flesh to wander around. And there's so much we don't understand, and there's so much we don't get right constantly. But be content that the reins of your life are in his hands, of the sovereign Lord. Surrender everything to his will and trust him. Listen to his voice. Follow his commandments. Be glad to be a sheep who doesn't know everything, but who follows his master's word. And the final thought then is, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, that is a pledge of loyalty. That's a pledge of allegiance, of fidelity. It is to confess your faith, to say that you will serve the Lord your God and no other. That you will put him first in your life and be devoted to him above all others. And when you're tempted, when you're tested this week, and you confess this, brothers and sisters, the Lord is my shepherd. And so do not yield. So, brothers and sisters, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. The Lord is your shepherd. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that in your great mercy, you are our God and we are your people. That you, O Lord, have granted it to be so by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, O Lord, that we are not worthy of this privilege. That we are at best unprofitable servants, weak and faulty. But Lord, how faithful you are. How long suffering with us. How full and abounding with compassion and love. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ has laid down his life, that we are purchased by his blood, and that he lives in heaven in order to bring us to glory. And so we humbly ask, O Lord, that our faith would increase. That you would help each of us here tonight to believe, to trust this wonderful promise that you give us. And we pray, Lord, that we might start each day remembering this. This all-defining blessing that you give us, that you are our shepherd. You are our God. And we are your people. In Jesus Christ, forever. Amen.